Yeah, we don't want to have what happened last time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, Ben.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Eventually, we'll have to look up a big mic for certain times, man. But yeah, here we go.
Yeah, we're about to put something on standby for him when he joins in that we can play.
I was a little nervous taking calls up, as you kind of would imagine, because last week, but
yes.
It's all good. America, September is officially upon us. Labor Day, college football, pro football. We are ready to go. We're officially talking sports with the 12th man on this special Wednesday, September the 6th. We are ready to kick this off. We got a lot of callers in, and as always, I'm your host, Andre, but I got some fellow co-hosts here as always that join in. They are ripping and rolling. You're not trading them for anything. You're not trading them. We're going to get this party started. So first and foremost, let's kick it out with my boy, JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm loving this fall weather. And just so everybody knows, that we don't steal any signals from other shows, to try to figure out what they're talking about. We do our own thing. That thing with Boston and the Yankees was crazy. That was nuts.
Oh, man. There's a lot of things we can
kind of learn from Bill Belichick.
Oh, man. See, that's very topical, too. I try to come up with a nice joke, too. So way to kick it off with that, JQ. I appreciate that. The other voice that you heard is Mr. Robert Ford. Rob Ford, how you feel this evening, sir?
Man, doing fabulous. Ready to talk some sports. I got some Mexican food in me. All is well in the world.
Yeah,
all
that's why you're
well.
Sitting there eating them refried beans. Sitting over there slugging.
Them black beans, something serious.
Yes, sir.
I'll listen to something in the background. You know what it is.
Oh, my gosh. America, that was live. And we're going to have some fun. Big Mike, what's up, Big Mike? Are you on, bro?
Big Mike?
Come on, Big Mike. I hope he's on. Hold on. Let me make sure he's on. Because if he's not, then I'll get him on. All right. Tell him to call back in, because if I'm getting a little feedback here, because Blog Talk did have a little challenge.
Okay.
So it looks like he's on hold, but I clicked on the button to get him in, too. So tell him to call right back in, because literally he called right whenever the show was starting. So I'm hoping it's not acting a little weird with that, too. So I'm going to grab him and make sure that he's on. Hold on. Make sure that – let's see if he puts on. Let's make sure Big Mike is in. I'm trying. That was good, Rob. All right. I think he's calling back in. All good. Okay.
Yeah.
So make
gotta
sure
say it like Sandra Bullock.
Oh, man.
Big Mike.
This guy right here. Oh, man. So eventually, we're going to wait for Big Mike to join. There it is. Let me make sure Mike is on. Big Mike, are you on?
Yo.
There he is.
There he is. There you go.
While we were checking in, everyone, for the show, did you hear all that?
I heard you. Am I going to get a
Big
chance?
Mike,
to
it's not going to be exclusively
only,
about the Packers.
Only JQ get one.
Say what?
You say Big Mike, go ahead.
I want a chance for my shout out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm going to shout out to the Central Division leading Chicago Cubs.
Oh, here we go.
Playing good ball, beating the hell out of the Reds, JQ's Reds.
That didn't happen.
Last couple weeks.
Oh, man.
Got a 1-0 win over the lowly Pirate Sniper. We'll take it. next shout-out is going, I am down in Miami right now and had some business plans, all kinds of screwed up, and shouting out to everybody down here in South Florida that are trying to get the hell out of here. Like me,
man,
tomorrow.
You better get the hell out of there, too.
Glenn's been trying to get me to leave the bar for, I don't know. I mean, I left the bar an hour ago, but, man, it's crazy down here. It's the calm before the storm. It is beautiful down here, but you know that it's going to be chaos here in about 24 hours. So I hope everybody's safe, families are safe, and shout out to everybody there.
So you are leaving.
Absolutely. Our prayers are definitely with the communities down there in South Florida and, of course, also the Caribbean. So definitely let's keep all those areas in prayer. With this is massive storm is what they're saying.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. So,
All right,
are
go
you
ahead,
leaving
Trey,
Big Mike, though?
But Big Mike, getting back to your sports, man, are you a Packers fan and a Cubs fan?
Uh-oh.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I mean,
wait,
I got
anybody who's a Green Bay fan or root for anything in Chicago.
Yeah,
that's Green Bay. I'm a season ticket holder for the Packers, but a friend of my dad's, still a friend to this day, longtime family friend, was the strength and conditioning coach for the Cubs in the 80s while I grew up. So I got nothing but Cubs blood in me as far as baseball goes.
Interesting.
I may never have revealed that before. But Jaquan knows that's not just because of the World Series last year. I've been a Cubs fan since as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I'll give him that. He didn't bandwagon. He went through the suffering, so I'll give him his credit for that.
But you probably can't stand the Bears.
Oh, they're getting started. That's a whole show in itself.
I just had heartburn when you mentioned that name.
Go ahead, Drake. Keep us on target, man.
call into the show. The number is always 424-243-9519, even though we're going to be a little bit more selective whenever we do call-ins and stuff like that, just only because of what happened crazy last week. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter.
I didn't tell Mike.
We'll talk about that. You give him a quick rundown later on, too, because we're going to get this party started here. But if you want to reach out on Twitter, go to the number at the number 12. THMN Sports, and then finally Facebook.com Talking Sports to the 12th Man. And if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that as well. All right, gentlemen, let's kick it off, man. We got a lot of things to discuss. Hopefully, we get it all in. And let's talk about the top five NFL teams heading into the season. So stay tuned. Let's kick it off with you, JQ. Give us your top five, and then we're going to go around the room. So go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably going to be a consensus top five. I'm not going to put them in any particular order because we haven't played any games yet. But I think, you know, as we get in the middle and towards the end, these five will end up being more of the cream of the crop. And it's your usual suspects. You know, like I said, in the order, I would say, you know, I think the Super Bowl winners in Atlanta and New England are in that top five. That Seattle defense just got even scarier getting Richardson from the Jets. I think that Seattle defense might be back. I'm going to give Mike some love. And anytime you got Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and that crew, you got a chance. I'm going to throw Green Bay in as well. And as much as I'm going to keep myself from throwing up, as I mentioned this last name, when you got the Bees, the killer Bees in Pittsburgh, they're going to be around as well. So for me, those five, I think it's probably closer in that order, I would say. You can move a couple people around, but I think Pittsburgh is definitely five. And the other four, you know, New England one. Okay, so I take that back. New England one and Pittsburgh five. The other three, you can make 2, 3, and 4, and I wouldn't have an argument.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Rob.
This one's been really tough for me because obviously you got to keep New England in there. Obviously, they lose Julian Edelman, but I still don't think they'll miss a beat. They were able to acquire Brandon Cook, so they will be able to stretch their defense offensively a lot more than what they were able to do last year, and they have a stable of running backs that they'll be able to rotate. And their defense, of course, with Bill Belichick, they'll be good enough. So you obviously got to still keep them at the top. I still have the Falcons up there and there, obviously, as much as I hate to say it, just like JQ hates to talk about the Steelers. I hate to talk about the Falcons, but I think you still have to put them up there. They're going to be pretty explosive offensively and have a lot of young talent on defense as well that I think will keep them in the mix. The Steelers, offensively, if that big three is healthy, they will be tough to stop, obviously. Like I said, if they're big, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and if they're good enough on defense, they're going to be extremely tough to stop offensively. Another team you got to look at in the AFC is the Oakland Raiders. They are a team that's capable of making that next step or even contending to get to the AFC Championship game with Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, on the offensive end, probably one of the better offensive lines, probably the second best offensive line in the league outside of Dallas. And Khalil Mack, you probably have the best pass rusher in the game too. So I think mm-hmm. I would put the Oakland Raiders in that mix as well. And then the last teams have been really a toss up for me between the Packers. I think the Giants could really surprise this year as well. So if you look at the Packers, the Giants, and the Seahawks, you can look at those two, three teams right there in the mix for that fifth spot as well. Seattle was very impressive in the preseason. Obviously, it is preseason, but they look like they may be back for another potential run with the way they performed in the preseason. So look out for them. The Packers, of course, as JQ mentioned, offensively is going to be pretty dangerous. And I think if Eli Manning could play error-free football offensively, they could be as scary, and their defense is going to be improved as well. So I think they have a chance of being in the mix as well.
That's like
Big Mike,
Deuce, brother.
That's like seven teams I get. I know the topic was top five, but I gave seven.
Yeah, come on, man. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to
five for five.
I'm going to echo kind of what's already been said. I think, just real quick, the rundown is, you got New England and Pittsburgh in the AFC. I think you got Green Bay, and you got Seattle. Looks real good, especially with the addition on that defensive line of Richardson. And then that fifth spot, man, I got to go. I got three teams that could be anywhere in there. They could be Dallas, even with Zeke being out. I think that team is loaded. I think Prescott's a star on the rise. I think Atlanta's on the fringe, just because of the history of a Super Bowl hangover. And I got to agree with Rob that Oakland's somebody to watch out for. I think they got a lot of firepower over there, especially on D.
Yeah. Thanks
for
you know
my sleeper, Tennessee.
Go ahead. Good call. I was going to say that you pretty much, Mike, opened the floodgates, because we talked a lot about Cowboys last week, but Go Big Blue just sent me a note, and he was like, yo, what about my Cowboys? And we're like, dude, we talked about them last week. So, again, we'll see about them. And I know the Zeke decision did not they had it kind of got that delayed, so he's going to play the first week. So after week two, that's going to be interesting too. But, good calls. I mean, we're pretty consistent as far as the top five, and I'm right there with you guys. A lot of good calls. You can go Pittsburgh. You can definitely go, Raiders. That was a good call too, and Seattle, like you talked about. Consistently, I'm with you guys. New England, Atlanta, Packers, and then kind of that fifth squad is kind of a couple different areas you can go with that too. Whether you go Seattle and or the Raiders too, but it's going to be interesting to say the least. So that's our top five. Into that, and let's keep moving to the next topic here. And this is an interesting question too. So we talked about some players that we think are going to make some impact. And I guess the first question is Christian McCaffrey. So you can talk about people that have been pretty impressive in the preseason, and it looks like the Panthers guys have done a good job of trying to kind of definitely work the playbook around the gentleman. So what do you think, Rob? What kind of impact do you think he's going to have this season so far?
Well, I think he definitely adds another creative element to that offense. Is he the type of running back you want to just hand off the ball and let him run 25, 30 times a game? Absolutely not. He's not going to be that bell cow type of running back that you just pound through the middle of the defense. He doesn't have that kind of size. But I think you want to get him the ball out in space. You want to get him at least 15 to 20 touches a game, whether that's handing off the ball, getting the ball to him on screens, out of the backfield, getting him in the return game. He's going to add another element to that offense, similar to what the way the Saints used to use maybe a Reggie Bush back in the day, or the Eagles with Darren Sproles. He's just going to add that kind of element to that offense, give them another weapon. Obviously, I think they're still going to have to rotate backs, which a lot of teams in the NFL are doing these days anyway. But if they can get his hands on the football 15 to 20 touches a game, I think that's what you should look for with Christian McCaffrey this season in that Carolina offense. Like I said, you give him the ball out in space, he's going to be dangerous.
Hey, Mike, your thoughts?
I can't argue with anything that he just said. But if I had to bet on it right now and JQ knows me well enough. I'm not a real betting man. Man, I think Tampa Bay's – well, I think Tampa Bay's the team to look out for other than Atlanta. But the postpone of that game coming up and, you know, having to play 16 games straight really, really screws Tampa Bay this year.
Yes, it does.
I was pretty much looking forward to that game. Tampa Bay's coming up to Green Bay in, like, early December, first week of December. I thought that was going to be a good game. It probably still will be. But I think Jameis Winston has a breakout year.
And hey, man, why don't you stay on topic?
I'm using that to make my point. I think Tampa Bay is more the team to beat in that NFC South than Carolina is. McCaffrey's ridiculous. Yeah, get him out in space, he's gonna run wild. But I don't know if Carolina's got all the pieces to be that contender yet. And I'll just leave it.
No,
at that.
I don't think they do either. I don't see Carolina as a contender.
No,
but you know, just McCaffrey. You know, it'd be interesting to see how he's utilized in that offense and what kind of impact he has this season. But I think you're right in regards to Tampa Bay. If Jameis Winston takes the next step, they could be a scary team because you look at the last 6 to 8 games last season, Tampa Bay's defense was as good as anybody in the league last year. They were forcing turnovers. They were tough to deal with. Toward the end of the season last season. So if Jameis Winston takes that next step at the quarterback position, and then when you look at the weapons he has around him, or Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, and now Deshaun Jackson, they could be really scary if Jameis Winston takes that next step at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was saying. I think Caffrey's a dynamic player for sure, no doubt about that. But I just – I'm not looking past Carolina. We got them on our schedule as a Green Bay fan.
There you go.
But I think Tampa Bay, if they can weather the storm of going 16 straight games, man, they're gonna be tough. But man, they got a shitty hand dealt to them in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. I think their coaches are gonna have to be really careful with the way they're taking care of their players' bodies this season. You know, once they get through that 8-9 game mark in the rest of the season, it's going to take, you know, shorter practices maybe. They're going to have to really take care of the player's body. It can be done, obviously. There was a 12-year stretch in the NFL, I believe it was from 78 to 90, where every team played 16 games straight. I know that's a long time ago, but it does put them at a little bit of a disadvantage. But I think the coaches are going to have to be really creative in their practice schedules and taking care of the players' bodies as well.
Okay, so I'm gonna bring us back to what we were talking about, Dre. So, yes, Christian McCaffrey. Look, Christian McCaffrey had me when I saw that video of him putting Luke Kuechly, who's arguably one of the best linebackers in the league, on absolute skates in space. I said, ooh, if they find a way to utilize this guy right, they're going to be really scary. And Rob is right. You just can't pound him, you know, in between the tackles. He's a PPR back, and for all our fantasy fans out there, they know what that means. He's not going to, you know, get those half-point carries like you're going to get in some of those leagues. He's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, and if you think and look at those weapons, Curtis Samuel is hurt, but he's also going to kind of be in that mode, but he's going to play second fiddle to McCaffrey. But outside of Kelvin Benjamin, there's nobody in Greg Olsen. Don't let me be blasphemous and not mention Greg Olsen. But those two, you can go to more of a full backfield where you put him and Stewart in the game, and you maybe let Stewart block for him a couple of times, or, you know, you put him on one of those, you know, James White kind of real routes that New England likes to use as well, and really use with Shane Vereen as well before he went on to the Giants. I think that's the role you see for McCaffrey. He's going to get 15, 20 touches a game. I agree and I disagree with Rob on the return game. He can be dynamic in a return game, but if he gets hurt fielding the punt, and he's killing it, you know, out of the backfield and catching passes and running. Do you destroy Ron Rivera for putting him in harm's way for returning kicks? Like, I think they're going to be overly cautious with that, at least early on in the season. I think it's going to be pretty much sticking to running
can't,
and, you know,
can't
catching
run the
passes
dude
out
into
the
ground.
Side. Yeah, and plus the punt game and the kickoff game is so violent, right, that if you get him, you know, destroyed for 6 weeks and he had all this promise coming out of the backfield, people are going to second and third guess you to the heels.
Yeah, I don't think they'll use him on kickoff returns, but they will need them. They will use them on punt returns when they need them. They're going to pick their spots on punt returns, but I definitely don't see them using them on kickoff returns.
Okay, I get you.
Nice.
Spot punt returns. Punt returns, yeah.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, like I said, I'm kind of in agreement of follow the line. Yeah, that's what Rob does, man. But, no, it's interesting. The fact of the matter is I agree that Christian McCaffrey, he's going to have an impact, guys. They're going to do everything in their power to feature him. I'm not talking about, you know, we don't know as far as, you know, what he's going to end up as far as rookie of the year and stuff like that, but I do believe they are setting him up for success. So, you know, they need more balance in offense. You know, obviously Cam's going to try to come back from a disastrous season and a lot of answers about him too as well. So we'll keep an eye on that, but I do think he's going to have a pretty big impact for the Panthers this season. I'm talking about the Panthers going to be better than Tampa Bay, but the fact that Christian McCaffrey is going to have an impact for the Carolina Panthers. All right, let's move on. Talk about,
you're going to see some, you know, you're going to see some read option plays with Cam and I think Christian McCaffrey too. I don't think they'll, you know, I think you'll see that, you know, up to about five times a game where they'll probably run even some read options together with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey as well. So that'll be interesting as well.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So that's more hits for Cam Newton. That ain't good for
Cam
Newton.
Yes, it is. He said five times a game. So I give him that. Up to five times a game, I would go for it. It can't be 10 to 15 times a game. I agree with you, though, Mike. You can't expose him to those kind of hits.
Yep. This is an interesting question.
They
call football
the NFL.
Again, we'll talk about
that. Sorry, go ahead, Dre.
Yeah,
I know you're trying to move on. Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, if we have a good topic, we'll spend some time, too, because I want to get through a couple of things. I want to get through at least the first couple of games here. And this is an interesting question, and Big Mike, you'll eat this off too, bro, and talking about Adrian Peterson. And I guess the question is his career overrated? So your thoughts on that, and, you know, I'll go reverse and kind of figure out everyone's thoughts as far as his career being overrated.
You're going with me first, Ray?
I'm going with you first. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, to say his career is overrated is blasphemy as far as I'm concerned. I'm a fan of the team that got to see him twice a year. And, yeah, we got him not shut him down, but we kept him in check. Maybe one out of those two. And maybe another time he ran wild and still managed to win a game. But the dude is amazing. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. His career is not overrated as far as I'm concerned. The dude is unreal. Well, whether he can replicate that now at 30, what is he, 31 or 31 years 32. Old, 32?
Something like that.
Whether he can do that as in a limited role where he's not going to be getting pounded, you know, 25 times a game in New Orleans, I don't know. I drafted him in the two fantasy leagues I'm in. I drafted him. I got him late. I feel like it was a good value pick for me. I think he's on par to do some good things again this year, especially with a coach like Peyton over there that knows how to use his personnel. Man, I'll take Adrian Peterson any day. Until his knees give out completely. Or he gets concussions that he can't be on the field, I'll take him.
You're making Rob's adrenaline kid a little hot, man. He's all excited.
Yeah, I
was going
to say probably.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. You're up.
Well, I agree from the I don't believe his career is overrated. I think with a frustration, if you look at Adrian Peterson's career, the closest he's got to a championship was – but back in the 2009-10 season when he and Brett Favre went to the NFC Championship game.
My boy Brett Favre ruined their
and obviously he was a major part of why they lost that game. He had a couple of fumbles. Jonathan Vilma stripped him a couple of times in that game and cost him the NFC Championship game. But his overall career, I mean, the rushing numbers speak for himself. He just doesn't have that championship to really put him on the map. But as far as rushing stats, I mean, the guy's been unbelievable. The way he's come back from some major surgeries as well, he's been a flat out beast. Like I said, he's had the fumbling issues a little bit over his career, but I definitely don't see him as being overrated. at all, especially when we've had 2,000-yard seasons, et cetera, 1,500, 1,800-yard seasons. So he's had a ton of those. As far as, you know, just following up from Big Mike, as far as, you know, what he may do this coming season, I hear he's been very good in camp. I mean, he's only played in one preseason game, played in week three. I didn't really see the explosion. I didn't see the explosion last year. Mm-hmm. So I would still be a little concerned as far as, you know, what he has left in the tank going forward. Now, like I said, I've heard a number of great things of the way he's looked in camp and practices. But if you look at the way he looked last season before the injury and then, you know, the way he ran in one preseason game this season, I just didn't see that same explosion that he once had in his career. So, I mean, he'll still have to prove that to me. But I'll tell you what, as far as the Saints' backs feel, you may want to watch this guy, Alvin Kamara. He's been flat-out phenomenal in a preseason. He's taken some long runs to the house, and he's got the speed. Looks like he can run it between the tackles to the outside and catching it out of the backfield. He's a sleeper when you look at the running backs for the Saints this year.
Wow. Can I make a follow-up comment?
Yeah, go ahead. Take it, Jake. Who's time?
Yeah, Rob.
I know, right?
I think you got a lot of good points there. I think Adrian Peterson has now got, you know what, almost 3 years where he's not had a whole lot of wear and tear on his body. He's had some injuries that he's coming back from, but I think – because, you know, my Packers injured him. You know what I mean. They didn't intentionally injure him. He got injured in game two of last year, right? And he was eligible to come back at the end of last season. But the Vikings were on a skid. They couldn't really contend for the division title, so they kept him out. He's had a full year to recover. I think the Saints are taking it easy with him. His performance in that one preseason game may not have been what you'd like to see, but he's still got some gas left in that tank, man. He's a bull. That's all I'm gonna say. I could be very wrong. I'm not gonna say I'm 100% right on this, but I've seen him run for the last 8 years in Minnesota and run all over my Packers at sometimes. Man, just don't sleep on him.
Well, I hope you're right. As I said, I haven't seen it yet.
Smile your mouth, you ask Big Mike. Talking sports, now it's all good. Wrap it up, JQ.
Yeah, I was gonna say, goodness gracious. Yeah, but the thing that people are trying to hold against him, and I think part of it is because, you know, all the kids off the field. If you want to be honest, he's got some holes in his, so what some call off the field character. But if you look at what he's done, he's phenomenal. Like you talked about, you guys, the points you made. But he has had the fumbles. He's really, for as big and physical as he is, he's not the greatest blocker in the backfield. And he really can't catch the ball. So you're saying he's really a one-trick pony. He doesn't. He does not catch the ball out of the backfield. If you look at his season stats, I don't think he's had more than, I think, 30 catches in a year, maybe his high watermark. So you're looking at him as a one-trick pony, but he's a phenomenal one-trick pony. And that's why I say, take it easy. I'm with Mike. He's a beast. And if you look at his stats outside of the points that Rob made, the only 2 years that he didn't get double-digit touchdowns was the years that he got hurt. All the other years, he had at least 10 touchdowns in those seasons. So just work on that in your brain, you know, where you're like, okay, if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to give me at least 10 touchdowns. That's a dude. You can't really – get in the end zone in the NFL is not an easy task. And to say I'm going to get you double-digit touchdowns every year except for the years I've been hurt – says a lot.
Yeah. And I think the thing you got to look at from the Saints' point of view is they're not going to give him the ball 25, 30 times. Sean Payton just doesn't do that with any running back. And I guess the hope is you hope that he's got something left in the tank where he can still give you 10, 15 carries. I mean, you got to remember Mark Ingram had over 1,000 yards rushing last season and averaged over 5.1 or 5.2 yards a carry, which was near the top of the NFL. And then we add Alvin Kamara in the mix, so he's got a lot to work with in the backfield.
Can we before we move on fast, can we just go ahead and get rid of the 1,000 yards as the barometer now with a 16-game season? Can we just go ahead and make it like 1,200 or 1,300 yards so it's a true indication? Like, if to get 1,000 yards in a 16-game
everybody
season,
everybody gets that now.
When you've got a bye, everybody can do that, especially with a bye. All you need is like 75, 80 yards a game. If you're a feature back getting it 20 times a game, if you can't, you're supposed to average 4 yards a carry. So you're at 80 yards right there at 20 carries a game. Come on, man. I'm just saying, we gotta up the mark to make it more indicative of where we are.
Good call. Send it up to the committee, JQ, and make that happen, too. See what they say about that. So we sound like everyone has definitely agreed that he is not overrated for his career. And I got to tell you my story, too, because I remember whenever the Vikings drafted Adrian Peterson, because I thought he was going to drop the Falcons, and they stuck him for us, and I just knew. I was like, oh, man, we had that terrible Jamal Anderson pick. But I just remember, I was like, we may get Adrian Peterson. Nah, that just didn't happen, man. Just one of those crazy draft moments, too. In the first game, we knew that he was going to have a pretty good career, even though he's had some challenges. It was just one of those.
Yeah.
You took the best player available. So kudos for the Vikings. We always give them a hard time for making the one mistake that they didn't get their draft pick in time. And but on that one, they won. They won the draft. And it's amazing that, we talked about, as Mike said, Hall of Fame back here. So, yeah, his career is definitely not overrated. He may have had some challenges in the last couple of years with the incident. But, yeah, he's up there, bro.
Going back to that draft, I remember like it was yesterday when Minnesota took Adrian Peterson number 7, and the Falcons were picking number 8 and took defensive end Jamal Anderson from Arkansas.
That's what I'm talking about.
I remember that draft like it was definitely like it was yesterday.
That was crazy. And I thought we'd make it Adrian. So I'm like, no, there's no way. And then they messed up around and just picked that. I was like, Anyway, how things have been so much different. Let's talk about the Ezekiel Elliott update. I talked about it briefly. We got about 13 minutes left in the show, gentlemen. So, Rob, any news about this? I know I talked about it briefly, but go ahead and tell us about this.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Andre, obviously the news came down that he will play this weekend against the New York Giants. Obviously,
big blue,
that's
good.
A big game for the Cowboys to be able to get him in a division game, which could have an impact down at the end of the season. And obviously, he'll serve the 6-game suspension right after week one, as of now, anyway. Obviously, I think the Players Union may do some more appealing. We'll see what comes out of that. But as of now, he will play this Sunday against the Giants, big divisional game, which, you know, almost counts as two when you play these division games. And then he'll be off for 6 weeks as of now. But stay tuned on what the NFL Players Association is going to do.
Brief, anything you want to say about that, JQ?
Yeah, I was reading the stories about the testimony, and I said, come on, Zeke, man. They talking about how he, doing drugs and a lot of coke and barely, getting past the drug test at Ohio State and, just wilding completely out. And then, you know that that's happening to a certain extent as a star running back at a major university, but to hear it come out of his mouth and see it in print in the testimony, I said, come on, Zeke, you got to go somewhere and get your life together. Sit down. Listen to that Kendrick Lamar.
Be humble. What?
Just relax. Yes, man. You got to be cool, brother. Good Lord, have mercy. Somebody please talk to him.
That's your boy. You from Ohio State. Go ahead and give him a quick rundown, bro.
I'm too broke for him to listen to me. He needs somebody that's rich with some sense in their life.
That's a good segue. Mike, yeah, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. Mike.
Oh, hey, sorry, guys. I was on mute. I was walking through the hotel. Damn, we got a bunch of refugees coming to the hotel right now. Probably folks coming up from the Keys. But, yeah.
They're not refugees.
I think, I'm glad. Well, I shouldn't say I'm glad.
Yes,
I'm glad.
Hater.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad the Pack don't have to face him in like week five. I think we got to get the Cowboys. But at the same time, the moving target, the injustice.
Are you counting how many times I'm gonna say that word tonight?
Listen to me now. The injustice of. The discipline system in the NFL is ridiculous, and I don't understand how he's got 6 games for that. And you know, the precedent has been set at four games. You know, I thought that when they gave him six games, that was just to get the NFLPA appeal down to four games. I can't believe that got upheld. That's kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. That's all I'll say at that. Sorry, I was moving around.
No, you're cool. If you have to, like, you know, once you get checked and get settled, you got, like, are you checking in right now? You want to get settled in your room or anything like that, or are you good or what? Cause
I'm good. Make sure you're good to go. Make a cocktail in my hotel room. There's a ton of people checking into this hotel right now, and I don't know why they would be checking in right now other than maybe they're coming from the Keys or something like that.
Fair enough. All right. Man, we definitely got Mike exposed, but that's all good. All right, stay tuned for our next
Hey, I'm the truth.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. I got nothing. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I still think of, like, the man, whenever your boy was making fun of him, Rob Riggle. But here he is. He is the possible quarterback for the Patriots. Should he wait? Or should he, you know, wait for Tom Brady to retire? Or should he kind of, like, say, you know what, I'm going to find my own opportunity. So what's your calls on this, JQ?
You know, it's hard because, you know, the grass is not always greener. And I can see people saying, but you got a first-class organization, you got Belichick, and you got Kraft. And that's all true. But the flip side of that is, what if Bill Belichick says, you know, when Tom Brady's done, I'm done. We might get one more out of this, maybe two. Why would I take a risk on this young fella? You know, I've imparted all my knowledge. I can retire now with all these rings, and you can't say nothing about me. Does he stick around for Garoppolo is my point. So if I'm him, I got to kind of be trying to, you know, read the tea leaves of what Bill Belichick is going to do. And we talk about him, but the dude maximizes his talent. He always has a game plan, and he goes by the "if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying" mantra. So he's always going to push the envelope to try to get an edge on you every single week. And, I mean, but that wins games. And, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So if you're Garoppolo, you know, if Belichick is going to stay and keep that power, then I'm going to wait. But if you get the feeling that, you know, those two are tied to the hip, and when Brady has to, you know, eventually give it up due to age, and you feel like Belichick is going to fall him out the door, then, yeah, you move on.
Rob, what are your thoughts? My whole city. Go ahead.
Well, I think, personally, if you think you're capable of being a starting quarterback in the National Football League, I would push for a trade. And, Tom Brady is talking about playing. He's 45. I mean, I think most of us agree that we don't think he's going to make it that far. But I feel like if you feel that – I think there are definitely some teams in the National Football League that Jimmy Garoppolo could be starting for as we speak. And if he feels that way, he should be speaking up and seeking that opportunity with the New England Patriots. Obviously, New England still hold the cards with them, obviously. But I think in most cases in the National Football League, if a player is not happy, teams are accommodating them in pretty much all sports right now. And so I think if he feels like he can be a starting quarterback, I mean, you look at the Cleveland Browns, even the Houston Texans situation, Deshaun Watson is still not quite ready. So there's still multiple teams in the National Football League,
the Jets,
that could really use his services and possibly be capable as a starting quarterback in the league.
Exactly.
And but obviously he's not choosing that path. Either he wants to continue to learn with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. But I personally think if you feel like you can be a starter, you should be seeking that opportunity. And, of course, it'll be a bigger payday, too.
That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. <Mike. laughs> <Go ahead.
laughs> Go ahead, Mike.
Must be on mute again. He probably drinking.
Now, he's laughing.
Oh, man. I was laughing. I'm kind of torn on this one. I guess I'm torn between what everybody said here. You know, coming from the Packers organization, I feel like McCarthy and Ted Thompson. Listen, I'll get to a point here. McCarthy and Thompson are probably going to retire as soon as Rodgers retires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Belichick going to retire as soon as Brady retires? That's the question that Garoppolo needs to find within himself. If the answer is Belichick is going to keep coaching, whether Brady gets hurt this year and can't play ever again, or he plays until he's 45, there's a lot of unknown there. I'm not really sure what to think on that, but I kind of lean towards, man, if you're a backup quarterback and you got a whole lot of tape out there that shows that you can start and be productive and win games in the NFL, you should find a place to make that money.
Works out really good for Matt Cowell.
That would be my final thought right there. Is at the end of the day, an NFL career can be very short lived, and you need to make that money wherever you can.
Gotcha.
True.
It's all about opportunities, gentlemen. All about opportunities. Yeah, I mean, I agree with all your points. I will definitely say that, like you said, Rob, as far as that with the situation that's going to dictate what happens with Jimmy, you know, because I'm sure the Patriots did draft him, and for some reason, you know, how Bill is looking smarter than everyone else. Like, hey, I got this chip. Who wants this? You can dangle it for a first-round pick or for a second-round pick. And don't get me started in thinking that a team will make that happen, whether you're Jacksonville, whether you are, as you mentioned, guys, Rob, JQ,
right.
You mentioned, you know, the Jets and
San Francisco.
So keep it, yeah. Well, see that? You never know.
Yep.
Speaking of that, guys, what do you think about – this is kind of off-topic. We got about 3 minutes, 4 minutes here. What do you think about freaking Brock Osweiler getting cut by the Browns and the freaking, like, Broncos picking back up? You talk about, hey, we're going to make this – you talk about kind of full circle. I was just like, whoa. It was just one of those things. I don't want to talk about Brock as much, but it was just one of those things where – so the Broncos look like they're the winners in that, or what? The French toast, I guess, is a question.
I'm going to abstain.
We got nothing on that.
Hey, if y'all don't mind, I'll start off. I don't think either one of them are winners. I think Brock Osweiler is a shitty quarterback, to be honest with you.
Oh.
He should have stuck to playing basketball.
Oh.
Yeah, Rob.
Man,
he should have been a plumber or done whatever the hell else he was doing before that, because he was garbage.
Not a plumber.
garbage quarterback that has a job, and Colin Kaepernick didn't have a job. There's other people that are better. This dude just keeps, like, surviving, bro. I mean, look like Target, play like Jane, bro. That's just one of those, like, I don't even know how this is happening. Anyway, my apologies.
You might have just started off a whole nother conversation bringing up Kaepernick.
No,
come on.
No. We only got 3 minutes.
We talked
about a lot that I know. We'll save for that. All right. So we got about 2 minutes.
We got
about 2 minutes,
30-some
seconds. Yeah. So we're gonna keep it going OT. Yeah. So eventually, let's set up the OT port
like
we always do.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, he normally jumps off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We got to talk from 11:45 to 12. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have some more time to talk. So this is just, you know, it's not live technically. We can keep this going too. So Rob, set us up for the OT portion as we get ready to continue on the conversation. There's 2 minutes to go in the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we thank you all for tuning in yet again. Obviously, we still have more football to talk, NFL, college football. We've been squeezing in a little NBA in our OT portion. Our OT portion, unfortunately, we can't bring you this portion live. So you want to hear our predictions, get you ready for the football weekend, click on the same link on tomorrow. Hear our predictions. Let us know if you agree with us or you disagree with us, why you agree with us, why you disagree with us. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter and Facebook with your comments and feedback from our OT portion. Looks like we're going to be pretty consistent with our show on Wednesday night, so next week we'll be back on the air on Wednesday night. That's going to be Wednesday, September 13th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. You don't want to miss it. Tune in next week. Tomorrow, click on OT. Good night, people.
JQ.
Buckeye Sooners, man. Buckeye Sooners. That's all I got to say.
Stay tuned for the prediction.
Listening. Yes, sir. You got some little tease,
ahead,
you know, a little tease.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, Big Mike, for us. Go ahead, boss.
Man, as much as it pains me, I'd have to say OSU looks good to me.
Just say what you want to say. I didn't mean for you to you know.
No, I'm not. You know me well enough to know that I'm not patronizing you. I think with the injuries Alabama had, I think OSU might be the one that comes through at the end of the year.
Ooh, don't fly under the radar. Don't say that. Don't say that. Talk about the Packers again.
Well, I might be trying to reverse jinx your ass too, but
that
whatever.
Ain't no might. There's no might. That's an absolute reverse jinx. You don't fool with me.
Gotcha.
Good night, people.
Like I said. Good night. As Mike is heading into this America too. So like I said, Mike, it's kinda like your parting shots for the show as we get ready to wrap it up. So you say, hey, you know, thank you for listening, blah blah blah. Catch you next week. That's pretty much the purpose of that OT portion too. Us getting ready to talk about that too. So anyway, we're officially no longer live. We're officially in the OT portion of the show. So let's kick this off here. Let's keep it going here, gentlemen. And we definitely gotta talk about some week one predictions for the NFL. So I know we're going to do a brief recap as far as anything we'll talk about for college football, some great games as well. But let's kick it right off, and let's talk some college football here. And give us your thoughts, and try to keep it as brief as possible since there's four of us. So we got to, like, hit all these games here. And we got about 15 minutes to go, as we always do. So first and foremost, week one, let's kick it off with the Chiefs at the Patriots. I'm going to let Rob start off. JQ second, Mike, be ready on deck as far as your thoughts about this as well. So go ahead, Rob.
Obviously, the Patriots, I think at home, defending world champions, I think it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to go in there and beat them on a primetime game on a Thursday night. So I definitely think it's going to be a Patriots win, and I can see the Patriots win by 10 to 14 points at least.
Wow, nice. JQ.
Absolutely, and just to add on to that, you remember the last time the Chiefs played the Patriots in prime time, the Chiefs embarrassed the Patriots, and they were talking about whether it's going to be the demise of the Patriots, and we got the famous on to Cincinnati from Bill Belichick, and then they just completely destroyed us and went on a crazy march. So, yeah, if you don't think that Bill Belichick and them are not ready for that, for some little redemption, please believe it. New England, it's about a lot.
Well, what happened? Well, you know, in the game, too, that was game. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'm not
gonna see what happened was.
What happened? Go ahead, Mike.
Wait, are we going into what had happened was, or is it my turn?
No. Who do you got?
It's your prediction.
Bro.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much on board with that. I think it's tough to go into the Super Bowl, the reigning Super Bowl champions' home field on a first game of the NFL season. That crowd's going to be electric. If I can make a bold prediction, I think that Brandon Cooks might get two touchdowns in this game.
You must have him on your team.
Only two?
No, I don't have him on my team. I just think that that's a solid addition. That doesn't replace Julian Edelman, but Brandon Cooks can run, boy.
Yeah, but he's going to get Marcus Peters. I think it's either going to be Gronk or Chris Hogan.
Well,
we'll see.
That's why they play the games, right?
Yes, sir.
Don't cry for me, Argentina, here. The second game we're going to predict is Oakland at Tennessee, and this is a pretty interesting matchup right out the gate. Oakland is traveling across country. Tennessee, that was JQ's kind of sleeper here. What say you, JQ, about this particular matchup?
That Chiefs-Patriots was the easiest ones out of the ones we have left over. I go back and forth on this one. I think it's a close game. I know we talked about Oakland. I just like that Tennessee team. I think Mariota takes the next step. They find a way to keep Derek Carr off the field with Derrick Henry and Murray. I feel like Tennessee wins that game by, like, a field goal.
All right. There's a big brain on JQ. Your thoughts, Rob?
Hey, I'll take it.
I think Oakland is the better team. I think Oakland has the better season. But I think, you know, going cross-country first week of the season, I think Tennessee is going to win their division, and they're going to be a really good team as well. So I kind of agree with JQ on this. I think Tennessee wins a really close competitive game. When you talk about Derrick Henry and that backfield. So I like Tennessee. I kind of agree with JQ by a field goal.
Man, Marshawn's coming back big, Mike.
But I think
Oakland
is the better team and we'll have a better season.
Marshawn's coming back, dog. What you know about that, man? Come on.
Come on, Dre.
Dre, I don't know if you're trying to bait me into this, but I was already set in my mind. I'm going to go with Oakland on this. I think Tennessee has got, you know, they can pound Derrick Henry, and they got Delanie Walker. I think he's a phenomenal player. Marcus Mariota's coming into his own. But I just think the Raiders have too much on offense. And, man, you got Khalil Mack and some of these boys on defense that I think this is an upset for – I don't know. I don't even know if this is an upset, but I'm going to pick the Raiders.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like you said, you know, Oakland looks like the better squad, definitely as far as offensively, Amari Cooper, Crabtree, you know, Marshawn Lynch. That defense is – so this is – you know, the only way that they can sort of, like, lose, as they talk about, is, like, you know, the cross-country, and maybe they're not ready to sort of play. But, again, I'm kind of leaning towards Oakland, too, because the fact of the matter is, I'm like, man, you know, I don't know. I think Marcus Mariota, you know, he has a tendency, maybe he makes a mistake or something like that due to the defense,
yep.
And I think that they may capitalize. So, as much as, you know, they're playing home field, I still think that maybe this is maybe a good close game for Oakland. They're going to pull that one out, too. But that's just me on that front, too.
I think Tennessee,
very, very tough call.
I think Tennessee can be such a wild card that I'm not confident
kind
with Tennessee
unsure.
In that game.
Yeah, very certain. All right.
I can hear that.
Good call. This is interesting. Wow. I don't know how this played out. We kind of had this tag, Seattle versus Green Bay. Huh. I wonder who Big Mike's going to pick on this one.
Right.
Go ahead, Big Mike. It's your time to shine, bro.
Again, I think opening day at a home field, I think the Packers got a lot of expectations this year. They got the man on their side. I think the defense is revamped. They got a lot of new guys that are just coming in. But I think that defense, Ted Thompson's finally opened up his wallet, got some veterans. He literally replaced every one of the veterans that they lost with a veteran from outside. I think the Packers team is pretty stacked right now. I'm trying to be I think the Packers win by 10.
They have referee help. They have referee help. Seattle's got Richardson. Uh-oh.
No, hell no. By 10,
yep.
No.
Yep.
I got Green Bay by points.
Can Richardson stop Aaron Rodgers spin move out of the pocket? I don't think so. Nobody else has been able to.
Here we go. I got Green Bay by a point. Because they're at Lambeau, and that's the deciding factor. If they were playing at Seattle, I would take Seattle by a point. I'm being honest with you. I think the home field advantage is worth the extra point. I take Green Bay by a point.
Go ahead, Rob. I can't. This is hilarious to me. Go ahead, Rob.
I like Green Bay just simply because they're at home. I think these teams, by the end of the year, record-wise, could be very similar. So this could be a very big tie-breaking game when it comes from playoff scenarios toward the end of the season. Obviously, I think both teams will win their divisions, and I think they're the favorites to win their respective divisions. But this is a big game when it comes to playoff season if they get into a tie-breaker situation. And I just think just for the simple fact that Green Bay is at home, they win a nail-biter. As JQ said, 1 point, but 1 point to a field goal. So you're talking 1, 2, 3 point kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
When I say 10 points on that, I think it comes down to Green Bay's up by 3. They get
Don't back down, Mike. And
Seattle doesn't score again. That's what I'm thinking. I think the history of Russell Wilson at Green Bay and the history of Aaron Rodgers at Seattle is enough to – they don't play well at the other team's field. Russell Wilson threw 5 interceptions last year and the year before. And 4 the year before at Lambeau.
There it is. Big Mike is holding on to his convictions about that. He said by 10. So we're going to call you next week
to
figure out if this actually goes down in Peru.
But, you know, that was, like, the least dramatic pick and point spread by of any of them. You knew he was going to say something. Go ahead. Who do you have, Dre?
Count them.
I got Green Bay, too, man. I ain't stupid, man. Green Bay at Lambeau. It's going to happen, bro. All right. Let's wrap this up. I love it. This is a pretty another good matchup. Now, I got to say it had less, you know, excitement. But now that Ezekiel's back, this is definitely going to be interesting. Is he going to kind of go out with a bang or what? So this is going to be a first test for the Cowboys, the young Cowboys team, Giants at Dallas. Yeah, a lot of question marks is about Odell. You know, so Rob, kick us off. What do you think about this game? Go ahead and pick this one, man.
Well, I think those two key points right there have me picking the Cowboys in this game at home.
No.
I think by the season's end, I think Giants win this division. But in this particular game, Dallas is at home. Zeke Elliott is playing. Odell Beckham is 50-50, although I do believe he is going to play. My personal opinion about, you know, is he 100%? You know, how healthy will he be? I just think Dallas with Zeke Elliott and the NFL, I mean, this is big that they get him for this game because, like I said, these divisional games almost counts as two. But I still think in the end the Giants are a better team. The Giants win the division, but Dallas wins this Sunday.
So Big Mike. Go ahead, bro. Uh-oh. I mean, saving it for you, Jackie. Go ahead, Big Mike.
I'm going with Dallas. I think Ezekiel runs wild. He's gonna be running angry, and he's gonna have 150 yards. he's gonna sit on the bench for six games, but I agree that each of these games count for almost two. I think New York wins the division, and Dallas gets the wild card out of the one of the wild cards out of the East.
Talk to your boy, JQ, on both points. Talk to Ezekiel and Big Mike. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, he's wild. You know what? The Giants actually played well at Jerry World, and that defense is going to be almost suffocating. I'm going to take the Giants by five.
Oh,
I think the Giants go into Dallas with that defense and do just enough to win and frustrate Dak Prescott. I do. I think the Giants play Dallas tough every time, and they definitely play them tough in Dallas here the past couple of years. I go with the Giants. You got to pick one road team
with you,
JQ. The home team is not going to win all four. Just go statistics.
I agree with you. I agree with you, JQ. I really think that it's been a distraction with Ezekiel in the offseason, and I think that Dak he's going into his second year, and they're going to try to make him do certain things to beat them. So I think that they're going to do – Giants have always played well, like you talked about, too. If it was a different squad, I'd kind of like go with the Cowboys, but I just think there's something about this game that – it just doesn't smell right, man. So I'm agreeing with you with the Giants in this one too, man. So just because I'm a fan of Dak Prescott too, but I just think it's going to be tough for him in the second year, man. So, again, it's going to be a close game, I think, but I think Giants will pull it out some way, somehow. But that's me from that front. All right, gentlemen, that's the last
skip
thing
Danny
we
Ainge.
Talked about to pick. Oh, you don't want to skip it?
Yeah.
Talk about the college football here? Okay. You want to do the predictions or you want to do a top five?
What you think, Rob?
I think
top five are pretty
hear
much.
About the bank.
Oh, we can do them both.
Yeah,
let's
do it.
Yeah, I didn't hear about anything about these pranks from last week.
Oh no,
oh,
I didn't tell you that offline. It was crazy. It was crazy.
All right, let's see here. We technically got about 3 minutes here, so we can kind of fit all this stuff in. We can kind of go a little after if you want, but let's talk about some real predictions for college football here. And we're going to the top here. Let's talk about number 13, Auburn, and number 3, Clemson. And if y'all want to rest this really quickly, that's fantastic. Go ahead, Rob, your call on this particular game. Number Auburn at Clemson.
I tell you, this game will tell us a lot about both teams, to be honest with you. Obviously, both of them played cupcakes in week one. Quarterback for Clemson, Kelly Bryant, looked really good, obviously, against Kent State. He showed off a strong arm. Clemson is really loaded defensively. But, you know, like I said, this is a true test to see how both these teams are. Both of these teams, obviously Clemson is supposed to take a little bit of a step back this season without Deshaun Watson. But Auburn is supposed to be better than they were last season. But I still think Clemson is the better team because they're loaded defensively. And we'll see. I think Kelly Bryant does just enough for them to win at home over Auburn.
Go ahead, JQ.
Man, I want to take Auburn so bad because I think that Auburn is taking a step forward. But to go to Death Valley and win is a serious undertaking. And I don't think they're that good. I take Clemson. I take Clemson by, like, 9.
Good call. Mike.
I'm a little out of my league here on early college football, but yeah, it's tough to win at Death Valley. I'll take Clemson.
There it is. Number five, Oklahoma at number two, Ohio State. This is the thing. JQ, bro, how you feeling about this, man?
this is all we need to hear right here.
Yeah, no. The other ones are good games. I don't foresee an Ohio State whooping they put on Oklahoma last year in Norman. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to get a tight game, a 7 to 10 point game. I think in Columbus, I think Ohio State wins that game. I respect the heck out of Baker Mayfield, but the reason why I say 7 to 10 points is that Oklahoma's lost Dede Westbrook. They've lost Samaj Perine. They lost Joe Mixon. They may have some dudes that can eventually fill those roles, but those are unknown quantities at this point. They had those three, and they still lost last year. I just don't know if you take those three out and put in three freshmen or, you know, redshirt sophomores and say they go into Columbus and win. I think Ohio State was a really good game against Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's a good call, good game. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the game will be a lot closer than last season. I actually think Lincoln Riley has the potential to be a really good head coach in college football. And I think, you know, Oklahoma, I think if he stays there, can be really good for a long time, especially on the offensive side of the football. And with Baker Mayfield, they're going to be tough to beat. But I think Ohio State is just a little bit better. Obviously, JT Barrett has got a lot of weapons on the perimeter. And like I said, Ohio State might have one of the better defensive lines in the country as well. So I think they'll win just enough. You're looking at somewhere between 3 to 10 points. Home victory for Ohio State. Definitely a lot more competitive, I think, than last season.
Big Mike, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think Ohio State is a year out still from being one of those top four teams. They've got some talent coming up. Ohio State. Did I say Oklahoma?
No, you said Ohio State. You meant Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a year out from being one of those top four teams. Ohio State's got a lot of firepower and some veterans on that team. I think they look real good. The one caveat I'm going to throw out, and I'll shut up, is that Jaquan's daughter is staying over at her house on Saturday night, and he's going to need updates from me. So unless he's got his internet working on whatever replay game he's doing, I may fuck with him and tell him that Oklahoma is whipping that ass.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least you know if he sends you that, JQ, it might not be true.
You can please believe when I get in the car, I'm going to put the PlayStation View game on my phone so I can at least hear it if I can't look down and catch the play up on the way home. So
you better hope you got some Wi-Fi, motherfucker.
Oh, my goodness. This show's in a whole other direction.
Sorry,
hey, hopefully the FCC not paying us
attention. This show is officially off the next one. All right, this is
more
hilarious. Oh my goodness, yeah, we're definitely good thing we're at 12:01 because then it counts a whole other conversation. All right, let's wrap these last two games. We'll wrap up the show. Number 15, Georgia at number 24, Notre Dame. This is an interesting game, and the fact that, you know, we had an injury with Jacob Eason, and now Jake Prong gets to start, the talented freshman. What do you think about this game? It's at Notre Dame, so this is a very interesting pick. Brian Kelly's been under a lot of scrutiny, not as much as Kevin Sumlin. Hold on a conversation. But, again,
yeah, wow. What
do you think about this, JQ, if you would come out as far as your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, you hit it, though, but Fromm looked really good, and I know that's against App State, but he was already pushing Eason for that job. And listen, until I see Notre Dame do it and do it for like 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row, I'm not picking Notre Dame in any high-profile game. I don't care if they're playing in South Bend. I don't care if they're playing on the moon. I'm going to take Georgia by five.
Wow. Rob.
I'm going to pick Notre Dame on a mild upset here.
No.
Georgia defensively is really good, and so Notre Dame is going to have a tough time scoring points on this game on them. But I think Georgia is going to struggle a little bit to score as well. I think Notre Dame wins by a field goal, at home in a somewhat of a high profile game. I think Jacob Eason playing. I think Georgia wins this game by 10 to 14 points. But Georgia's defense is loaded. They're going to be really strong. They're probably going to be just as strong as Alabama and LSU on the defensive side of the ball this season when it comes to the SEC this year.
All right.
Big Mike. Yeah. This is another game I'm kind of ignorant on. I mean, Ohio State, I know enough because Swan's my boy. I live 30 minutes from Athens, and I've seen Georgia enough to know that they come out strong in the early season. I'm going to pick Georgia just on feel, but I think Georgia loses a couple late season and fucks their chances up.
I'm real talk. This quick point. It is definitely real talk. I'm going to say this, guys. Shout out to
keep
App State, man.
Wrong.
I know, keep it real can go wrong sometimes. I'm going to give a shout out to App State, man, because Appalachian State, you know, ever since they have beat Michigan, they are like the poster child.
Yes.
Don't let Appalachian State come and beat you. So they are the poster child for watch out for upsets. And they play the big schools. I mean, I know they, you know, I give them credit for, you know, scheduling Georgia, scheduling Michigan, you know, stuff like that. Because most schools,
they're Division
One
now. They're not Division One AA anymore.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, but give them credit because they always go out there and they're not scared to, like, you know, play the big boys for, you know, not that they're not the big boys, if you will, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they actually say, all right,
they're not
the
big boys.
To see where we're
are
at.
They in the CAA or are they in the SoCon?
Who, App State? I'm not sure.
I
have no idea.
Yeah. But,
I think they're going to Sun Belt, which is still Division One single way, not double way.
Okay, Sun Belt. Yeah, they might be.
But again, like I said, I just give them credit because, you know, they've definitely changed society as far as, hey, guys, watch out for the App States because, you know, they put everyone on blast. But again, they are not scared to schedule the big boys and kind of keep it going as well, too. So that's me on that point. All right, let's get to this last game, Stanford at USC. USC kind of stumbled at the gate, guys, a little bit. As far as they were so highly, highly touted, but they had some challenges. And I guess you're going to write the shit, but tell us about this. This is still a tough game going into this, too. So, thanks for checking that, too. So, out of the gate, Rob, what do you think about this game about Stanford at USC?
Well, yeah, USC struggled with Western Michigan, but keep in mind, Western Michigan, it was a team that was in the Final Six last season. And they still have a lot of that personnel left from that program last season. But I think USC will rebound. They'll win this game at home. They're the more talented team. Obviously, Stanford is going to play tough. They're well coached. They're always going to have a good offensive line. They're going to be solid on defense. But I just think USC is just too talented. And I think you'll see this team continue to get better and better as the season goes along. I like USC in this game. I'm going to say about 7 to 10 points. It's going to be real competitive, though.
Me too.
Thank you. You like
me
that?
Too. Yep.
Nice. Big Mike.
Me?
Yes, you.
Forget about it. I don't know shit about either team. Real talk.
Oh, man. I need to have, like, a real talk button for Mike, man. I love it. Oh, man.
Yeah, instead of doing the buzzer, just say real talk over the customer.
Real talk.
It's too early for me to pay attention to college football right now. I'm hardcore into NFL.
Where are you from, Mike?
He don't believe in Wisconsin.
From?
That's what it is. Go ahead.
Are you from up north? Is he from up north?
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm from Green Bay.
Okay, because I'm saying, because it's not.
You are not from Green Bay.
I'm saying, like, down.
Yeah, but they don't know where
South
Bay is.
You from Appleton, Wisconsin? Sorry to hear that.
They don't know where Appleton is.
Yeah. It's not as big. Football up north isn't as big as down south, so I'll give them that. That's probably why, you know, it's just not.
I'm a Green Bay Packers season ticket holder, man. I'm hardcore NFL.
You can still like the Badgers.
I
mean,
I do like the Badgers.
No, you don't. He's lying. America, he is lying. He don't even know who Wisconsin is playing this week.
I don't even know what city the university is in.
Oh, boy, where's Wisconsin playing this week,
Jaquan,
Mike?
Jaquan still sits down when he pees.
Oh, see, here we go with the foolishness.
He had to make a whole other random comment just to get out of that.
Here we go with the foolishness.
Man.
You know, we asked you a question.
That almost
sounds
as bad as one of the callers last week.
That's pretty much up there.
Come on, Jaquan, you drew me out now.
Because you can't answer the question. That means you're not a Wisconsin fan.
I was trying to be political there and saying I just was ignorant. I was trying to be nice and just, you know, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, you can't claim to like Wisconsin football and not know who they're playing in week two.
Oh, man.
I don't
see
care.
Crickets.
I don't want Wisconsin. I think it'll be a really strong team again this year.
I know that somebody's sitting in my seat September 10th at 4:25 at Lambeau Field. My seat.
I don't know that.
Not anybody else's seat. My seat. Hey, and you're going to get to come in 3 weeks. You're going to get to come up there and see an ass whooping when the Bengals come up there.
We're going to find out. You call in after that game when you come in and cry. We're talking about how Aaron Rodgers sprained his pinky toe and he couldn't run no more. We're going to have you on the show.
Here we go.
Go ahead, Drake. He's a malcontent and a rabble rouser. You just can't invite him on the show all the time because you just don't know how to act.
He's a visual word.
I mean, Jaquan will probably be part of the Bengals band.
I can't even go this route.
He'll be playing the trumpet. He'll be playing taps out there at the 50-yard line for the Bengals.
I'll be playing taps for Aaron Rodgers' arm. Playing taps for Aaron Rodgers' arm. That's what we're going to be playing taps for.
Yeah, play taps on that shit, motherfucker.
You got to definitely have to be on the show after that week.
Hey,
brother.
You?
Hey, brother. We're going to be sitting on the 40-yard line for that Bengals-Packers game at Lambeau. 40-yard line,
oh,
about
man.
40 rows up. It's going to be money. And we're going to get
this has been
so fucked up. All my boys.
Why?
We're going to make him hurt.
Lord have mercy. We have officially gone all the way off the rails.
I hope you'll be able to walk out of that stadium, JQ.
Hey, I love going to enemy territory and get a win. That's the best feeling in the world, to go to enemy territory and get a win. That is the best.
I don't
sound
care.
Like the microwave Vinny Johnson.
He
should be one of his words of sayings.
Yes, sir.
I don't
I
care
love
where
it.
I am
it.
That Wednesday after. Oh, I'm getting on this call. Win or lose, I will come up. I'll take my lumps, or I'm going to talk a whole lot of shit, one way or the other.
Well, you know what, Mike? I know how to log into the thing, and I can just keep disconnecting you. So, you know, just keep that consideration.
Juan, I can't wait to see you wear
they keep talking like that. He must already know his team is going
to
lose.
No.
I can't wait to see Jaquan's ass wear my Clay Matthews jersey all the way home from the Milwaukee airport to Atlanta.
And then when you that's not going to happen for
pictures.
One. It's okay. You know what? It's okay. I think I'm going to let him wear like a Westbrook jersey or something ridiculous, or Peter Warwick jersey. I'm going to give him a scrub.
Oh my goodness!
Shut up, fool, let Drake in the show.
You just here you go.
Number
He'll do
four,
another 3 hours.
Draft.
Florida State, stand up.
meanwhile, I'm supposed to wake up in 5 hours and drive the hell out of Miami.
All right. We'll
be safe, my brother.
Yeah,
be
for
safe.
Hey, I'll push aside. Be safe, dog, for sure.
Seriously.
Right,
yeah, we want you
I'm
to come
out of here.
We want you to come.
There's
going to
be a lot of traffic getting out of there.
Yeah.
Be
say
careful,
what?
Bro.
Get some rest, bro.
Yeah,
get some rest.
We'll talk to you. Love
right,
you guys.
Yeah,
yes,
you as well. Man, I don't think you can make that show up, gentlemen. That was just one of the classic shows. I'm gonna listen to the show just for the sheer, I don't even know. It's going to crack me up, man, whenever I think about this. But anyway. It's been fun. Rob, go ahead and end the show for us, man. Go ahead. Oh, gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thanks for tuning in again. We'll be back on the air on next Wednesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. For our friends on the West Coast, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, tune in next week, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Honolulu and Hawaii, Maui, tune in next week, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on Wednesday, September 13th. You don't want to miss it. Got more football to talk about. Good night.
See what I have to deal with, America, and I have to be the professional one, so I can't go to his level of dirt slinging. So don't think that I just allow him to talk to me like that when it's just me and him. We go back and forth, but I'm trying to be the better person on this show. So thank you for putting up with our banner. Yeah, you got to be the bigger man. Thanks for putting up with our banner tonight, and please believe I'm gonna have him on the call when the Bengals whoop off on the Packers. But so for sure, thank you for tuning in. Holler at you next week.
Oh, man, it's been a great show, probably one of our funnest shows for sure, even though we had some challenges with language. But, again, after last week, this is a cakewalk. Hope everyone had fun with fantasy drafts. Looking forward to fantasy drafts this season. It's been fun, all three, all four. Rob, shout out to you. Thank you for setting up that special draft. Marcy, she's so excited. So, again, she thinks she's going to do something. So, it's cute. It's fun. So, till
I'm
next
sorry.
Week,
I
gentlemen.
Finished
talking
league.
Trash
I'm sorry.
On Facebook and Instagram already.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't do six league. I wanted to do one with Marcy, but I just couldn't do another six league. I was 6-1. That was just too much.
It's all good. What did you say? She's talking trash already? What did you say, Rob?
I said, yeah, she's talking trash on Facebook and Instagram already. We're going to be ready for her.
Yeah, she's Marcy.
I am rooting for Marcy.
She said she loves the team. Baby got back to us her team.
What's up with that?
I'm rooting for Marcy so we can talk about it. Y'all be like, I can't believe Marcy kicked out, but I am rooting for that conversation.
You guys ever watch The League, did you guys ever see The League? The show The League? You ever watched that before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminds me of, like they're making trade. That's what I think about too. But our household will be fun, man. It's a little fun competition for sure. But
they're going to be in
their collusion,
Rob.
She's
you better
excited.
Watch out. They're going to be in a collusion, like, okay, in week 5, we're going to make this trade. They're going to be in there colluding on y'all.
I know, I'll have to watch it. We're going to have to make them a no trade between each other league.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to watch them. They're going to be having pillow talk. But I tell you, Mark Ingram is the truth, man. I give you Mark Ingram for Devontae Parker. Okay.
He might start rubbing Andre's head and, you know, make him feel a certain way at night, and he start giving up everything.
That's true. I'm not going to lie. You can't do that. You're like, yo, all right, sweet. What you need?
So
you
y'all
want,
can't make
you
any trades with one another.
She may try to, like, jump around and try to, like, get me. Go ahead.
So, yeah, she's going to be like, you want Egg Benedict tomorrow? How many slices of bacon do you want with that? You're going to be like, oh, who you want? You want Antonio Brown. Can I get some salsa with that Egg Benedict? No.
You know, the sad thing about that, too, is the fact of the matter, we got so many good players in that league. You're pretty much good. Man, this player didn't even get drafted. We can go for miles and miles. So that's going to be the fun league. Just kind of like we can do anything you want, man. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. That'll be fun. All right, gentlemen, it's been great, and I hope you guys have a great week, as always. Prayers for Big Mike as he travels. Hopefully he'll give a check-in for you, JQ, make sure that he made it safe and everything like that, too. But good game, looking forward to this week. Tracking con was amazing for me, and, let's get this party started, and I wish the Patriots would lose tomorrow, but they're probably not, but it's all good. So till next week, gentlemen. I guess we'll end it, and we'll go from there. But be good, guys. Have a great week, okay?
Absolutely, man. Be in touch.
Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Be good. Good night.
All right, bro.
Yep, good night.